Dear friends, are you alive? You have to be, or you won't be here in the room with us. If you are alive, then God has a desire and the design for you to thrive. Alive to thrive is tied to a rather constant analogy in Scripture of plant life. We're in summertime, so it's good for us to watch what happens right under our noses, and then to draw from that the characteristics of our own spiritual life. There are some really good things, amazing things that can help not only in our congregation, but in our own personal lives in this series. The writer to the Hebrews said, and we just heard it, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And when we start thinking about what does that mean, we're going to be talking about the gathering of seeds and then the distribution so that the fields are ripe for the harvest. So let me ask you, maybe you did it in the survey that we did recently for long-range planning, or maybe you just have to reflect on it today in an academic sense. I'm not going to have you write it down and deliver it to me, but you certainly could. What is going to have the most impact on our ministry at Our Savior Together? Is it going to be something that is tied to volunteering, or is it to Bible study? Is it going to be the school, a preschool? Is it tied to the things we're doing in the community or the things we do for ourselves? You see, as we design ministry, each of us might have a little different accent, but there are things that are rather central, the most important thing. I suppose you could say maybe it's put a popcorn machine in the lobby. We now have coffee, right? So not only are we more alert in our worship on Sunday mornings, but we are coming to hear the Word of God and have it planted in us, planted deep. God has not just the desire for us to thrive, but the design. It is important that we are in the Word of God, that we are gathering together around Word and sacraments, because that's where we get the solid root system from. We hear from Jeremiah first as we look then into Hebrews 10. Jeremiah was one of those you wouldn't want to have his job. He proclaimed some hard things to the children of Israel when they were probably at, in a way, the pinnacle of their worldliness, and that God would put them into captivity. It was a hard time for a prophet. He wrote, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They, those who trust, will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." What does that look like? And that's the question that you and I really have to ask, is do we want fruit in our lives? Do we want fruit in our lives to be seen by others? And the actual answer is that nothing will happen without the gathering of the seeds. You can't plant if the seeds aren't in your possession. You can leave plants go and they will wild seed. Some of that's good, some of that's bad. Let me tell you, I see that in my backyard. All too frequently, my wife can't tell what am I planting and what is natural seeding, right? Because plants will randomly sow seeds. So the gathering around the Word spiritually is the gathering of the seeds, the people that are going to be the church. Today we start with seeding. And as we look at this topic, I want you to get the whole series. So let's take a look at the whole of the landscape of our backyard, you might say. A plant has to have nutrients. There has to be a way of absorbing this up into the plant. It is the unseen under the ground. Root systems are amazing. I wish we could almost see what was going on, because the roots grow as fast as that which is above. Have you noticed the corn in July? Many of the fields were really late this year in planting, and now they're tasseled out. In just 30 days, they went from being just below the knee to way above the head. How did that growth happen? Well, most of it was going on before you could see the growth in the root system, absorption. Then there's the anchor. You'll be hearing from me in just a moment about what happens in a tree. It's called the taproot, and it holds during the storms. What about storage? The better a plant can store the nutrients, the longer it can last. I said to somebody on Thursday night, I think all flowers should be the same as my marigolds because I can't kill them. I've had some baskets of flowers that if you don't water them by 3 in the afternoon, they're all wilted. Yeah, over. And you hope you can revive them. And then there's the growth. When all of that is functioning well, the amazing growth that results in a fruit, a flower, something that the plant was designed to produce. Now, our series is going to look at that from this angle. The seeds, the gathering, that's today. Then we have to talk about how that seed gets in the ground, the planting, how it gets into the human heart as God places it in our lives. You can almost see a child's hand above this, can't you? Learning about how things grow, pouring the water on. And in one of the references that we'll have, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. There's the nutrients that then result in fruit. Now, I was looking for something green, and I thought, you know what? I really like color. Fruit is full of color. Look at that. Doesn't that look attractive? And most of us like fruit. Most of us would say, you know, we could just about dig a fork into that picture, and that's the fruit or the benefit of the flowering plant. And then the final one is reproducing. Notice right below the eye whose hand it is. This is the hand of Jesus. There's a mark in that hand, the mark of the cross. Because when Jesus came, He was the seed planted in the ground. So today we're going to talk about, in Hebrews, we're going to start with gathering. Gathering seeds matters. Here's where we start. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. How do we do that? Go back to verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. Do you realize that the seed that has the most impact on our lives is the body of Jesus planted in his grave? What? The body of Jesus has broken death. The body of the perfect Son of God has been planted that it might be there to overcome the brokenness of sin. And by taking sin and death into the grave, when he has arisen, everything looks brand new. There's the beginning of a new era, a new plant, a new church, a new person. What we see is that gathering the seeds matters, being together as the community of Christ, because we're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about the fact that he is the priest who sprinkled the blood, his own blood, and made the difference in the Ark of the Covenant, hidden behind the curtain in the most holy place. Did you hear that reference to curtain? His body is the curtain. What does that mean? It means that we are able to go into the presence of God because Jesus came, and through his own life and death, he made that access possible. Now, in today's world, there's a challenge. The first service, one of our, he's a college-age kid, I came by and I was talking to his dad, and never once did he look up. He was invested in his phone. We're in the age of technology, aren't we? And one of the things that can happen in the age of technology is that we no longer emphasize gathering. The church isn't so important because you can get it online. Certainly, you can get this sermon on the podcast later today. I hope. And you can probably find a lot better sermons than I'm going to preach if you just look around a little bit. So why do we need to come to church? Why do we need to sit in a group? Can't we just sit in our own bathrobe and get it all online? Yes, you can. But he says, let us not forsake, let us not give up meeting together, because there is something that God does in the community. He is talking about the gift of Christ. Hebrews is saying that he is the one that would sprinkle the blood, and everything that had been in the Old Testament was a foreshadowing of what would happen on the cross. The priest would go in once a year and sprinkle the blood. We won't go through all the Hebrew history. I did that in a series a couple summers ago. But the sprinkling of the blood is what cleanses the conscience. Today the body and blood will be here for you who are confirmed to receive. You are getting a second impression that your sins are forgiven. First, the announcement. And then secondly, the assurance physically that what comes into me is the body and blood of Christ. And that can only happen when I'm completely cleansed of my sin. He says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Did you know that attendance is dropping dramatically in the last 10 years in American Christianity? That originally, probably 40 years ago in the statistics, 80% of America claimed to be Christian. And pretty soon, the statistics dropped from 40 to 30 to 20%. So of the 80% that say they are Christian, only 20% go to church on a given Sunday. And the rules are being rewritten. You know what a regular active member used to be? Going to church every Sunday. That's what it used to be. My dad poured my life in and out of a pew. You know, the definition now is twice a month. And in that concept, it does reduce the numbers. We're going to see that happen, I suppose, in our church body at large. Have we seen it a little bit here? Yes, we have kind of reached a plateau and at our Savior, and we're fighting against that general trend in American Christianity. So the question I have is, if gathering isn't so important, how do you get to know about Jesus? How do you receive the body and blood? How do you have a body that is purified by the water? Well, the concept is in this gathering around Jesus. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Jesus did say, when you gather together two or three, there I am with you. So to have the presence of Jesus in the promise and the assurance, we need to gather. Gathering frequently. Gathering to receive the blessings that he offers. I will guarantee you there is worship here every Sunday. It is available all the time. That we see to. And you don't have to wonder, if I come, will there be church? Unless it's really deep snow. You won't get it just because of deep water. I think we've been able to do, we can cover that end of things. The reality here is, unswervingly, that we keep that as one of our priorities. Why? Is it important to me personally? Well, gathering is also a me thing. It is relational. Throughout the scriptures, Jesus says to his Father, I and the Father are one. And I want them to be one with me and with us the way I am with you. It's all in that relationship about Jesus. This series is going to talk about getting close to Jesus by having the Word of God as our tap root. You know, I've tried to take some trees out once in a while, and it can get to be a little exasperating. I will tell you, if you haven't learned this, don't take a chainsaw and try to chainsaw through the ground, the dirt. It doesn't work good. So you have to dig it out. And when you dig, there are roots. And when you get through those outside roots, you still haven't gotten the tree out. You can bend it back and forth and back and forth. I mean, if you start taking out a sizable tree, you know what you have to do. You have to dig far enough down that you can take out the main root. Do you understand why a tree will stay anchored even in the winds and the storm? Because of the tap root. The me thing is this, that you're always in connection with the love that is available, the security of God that is there. It is there that the growth will come. When the root that is unseen is deep, the plant will survive, just the way Jeremiah said. It is putting that root down deep in your daily interaction with the Word of God, in your weekly worship, that is the gathering of the seeds that get ready for the growing season. Did you know that the best encouragers are those who are really, really regular? They do it by their life, their role model, but they also do it because that's who they are. They have made that a priority. They have decided that's for me. And then the gathering is a we thing. It is definitely that which is plural, all together. Because worshiping God isn't just a solo thing. You can do that in the woods, but when you come to church, you are finding encouragement. Listen first to John chapter 15, where Jesus uses the analogy of plants. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch, there's the plant, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What we have in Hebrews is a double encouragement. One of them is a sharp encouragement, a little bit of a warning, and the other is a soft encouragement of compassion. The sharp encouragement is this: spur one another on towards good deeds. Spur one another on, that's a sharp thing. You know, the sharpness of a spur into an animal that's maybe lazy. If you've ever ridden a stable horse, you understand what I am saying, because stable horses only go fast in one direction. After you've ridden out, they go really slow going out. You turn them around when they're going back to the stable, they don't need spurs. They need spurs going out because they know they're getting fed. And it's that with our own sin nature. We need some encouragement once in a while. Now, we witnessed it a couple ways here at Our Savior in the last year. After the flood, we had some repair, massive amount of work done by our own members, some of which was spurring each other on. Now, you don't want to get in the way of some of these older gentlemen when they are spurring each other on. It sounds a little bit more like they're sparring with one another. They joke, they kid, they make fun of each other. And if they're not there, they call each other up and say, "Where are you?" But if you watch it from the pastor's chair, I was intrigued to see how they spurred each other on until the job was done. Encouragement. And then there's the compassion that comes. Oh, no, I got to tell you, the other one is when you put chips on the playgrounds. If you want to see a pile of chips go away fast, any of you were here when we put in the first time, the second time, the same thing. You had to spur each other on because that was a massive pile and it didn't take very long for it to get distributed. The compassion comes when somebody hits the hospital and there's encouragement by phone calls and cards and well wishes and prayers. When there's meals and there's concern. We just witnessed an incredible turnaround for Len. 10 days ago, we didn't know if he would live or die. He was sitting over there in service this morning. The compassion that God had on him personally and then in the community. You see, what happens is that it benefits both you and others. The gathering is so important because, like getting ready for the season where you plant, the seeds are all together in hand. And the devil knows that if he can separate, He can isolate people away from that which will help them, the nutrients, the taproot, the growth. And pretty soon, they're an unhealthy plant and there's no fruit. I'd like to give a challenge in this series towards the fall. We've actually been seeing some of this, a fall off in attendance during summer. Our average attendance is 41% of our congregation. That's 1% above the average for our church body. I would like to see it go to 45% by Christmas, in the time from September 1st till Christmas. What difference will that make, 4%? That's 33 a Sunday or a week more, 33 people. Wouldn't that be amazing if we were gaining by 33 every 6 months, 66 a year? You know, where is the rest of our church? Where are those people who are visiting with us? We need to have a deep root in the Word and community. And God will bless that. Will you add that to your prayers? Will you add that to your consideration this fall? And as we look through this series, we start with the seeding, but of course we go on and we'll see the planting, the watering, and then of all the power of God at work in the Spirit as He reproduces what has been planted in us through Jesus. That forgiveness, once given, is a life of thankfulness that continues to grow. Amen. We stand and we turn to page 7, the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.